Bible says this in chapter 23, in verse number 1. The Lord is. You know what I did right there, Brother Leo? I took a red ink pen and I put quotation marks on the left-hand side of the and on the right-hand side of is. It's just for me. Because I like being reminded that the Lord is. Father, I pray you'd help us just a little while. Thank you for these good folks. Thank you for the good Spirit of God. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that God, we can come to a place, come to a church, and God, that we can open your book and read and just enjoy and be thankful. God, for the good things you've done for us. And Lord, for the hard lessons that you might have even taught us. I'm thankful. I pray now, God, that you'll just touch our mind and teach us again from your word. Let us see the Lord Jesus. Don't care what the good brother across town's doing. Don't care what the folk in Jacksonville are doing. I don't care what the preacher in California's doing. I don't even know Brother Paul. But I pray, Lord, that tonight that you'll just let us get a glimpse of the Lamb of God. I believe that if we'll get a good look at your Son, everything else will fall in place. And we sure enough will thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing so long and patiently. I guess you could take this verse right here and you could start it out. It says, the Lord is, a lot of folk would say, what? The psalmist said, my shepherd. My shepherd. And Brother McBride kind of preached along these lines the other night, and I was telling Colton, God kind of gave me a little something off of it. I like it when somebody else is preaching, and I can see something else, and I want to pull my pen out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And just go to write and write down in there. Maybe not the same thing, but just a little something different, just for me. And he says, the Lord is, and he's identified as a shepherd. And he identifies what the shepherd does for him. It makes him not want. It makes him satisfied. You know, in the Christian world that we live in today, it's kind of hard to see people that are satisfied. I got to thinking, Brother Ron come to the house doing some work yesterday, and I got to thinking about, I was showing him my water system at the house. And we was just talking about it, and boy, it's a real doozy, I'm telling you. The only thing I don't like about it is what I had to pay for it. And it's quite expensive to have good, clean water. And it costs us, but now, they say, Brother Gary, that now after that salt, that water comes out of that system, out of my well in the ground, and it goes through this one tank, and from that tank to a couple of more tanks, and then after it kind of bounces up and down and sloshes back and forth, and then there's another tank over here that's got salt in it, and it'll draw a little bit of salt out of that one, and I got another tank to the side of it that's got bleach in it. And for all you folk on city water, I'm country and got city water. And it'll draw a little bit of bleach out of that thing, so I got some bleach going in. We could wash our clothes and get them white as snow. And I got some salt coming in from the other side, so your soap purchases for the year has dropped drastically. Amen. We buy one bar of soap, and that lasts us for at least 2 weeks. And maybe longer sometimes. It depends on how often you bathe. Somebody say amen right there. And there's a lot of folk that when it comes to drinking water, they are real particular. You might be here tonight and you might say, my water, I have to have a certain type of water. I can't stand this type or that type. And a lot of folk think that all water is the same. All water is not the same. We were down in Grenada. Me and Brother Joe Chancy and Brother Joey and Brother Earl Dominey on a mission trip. And we got down there and every time we want to drink water, everywhere you go, I don't care where you go, if you leave the United States, they tell you don't drink water. I found out in Cuba why they say that. Amen. I just rinsed my mouth out from brushing my teeth. Just rinsed my mouth out. He got me. So we were in Grenada, and I told Brother Joe, I said, man, this water, we're paying $1.25 a bottle, and we're drinking 3 and 4 bottles a day. It was so hot. And I said, we'll get them to take us to a store and buy us a big gallon size of water. And so we asked them about where's the store, and they took us to a store. We got in there, and man, praise the Lord, I'm telling you right there on the shelf, big gallon size of Zephyr Hills water. I said, what a blessing. I said, I'm getting me one, you get you one. He said, I'll just share it with you. I said, no, get you one. Get you one, or I'm fixing to buy two, and one will be for you. And so we bought a big gallon size, Brother Tracy. I know you know where Zephyr Hills is. And I'm thinking, I've never heard nobody ever complain about Zephyr Hills water. I've drank it before out of them Zephyr Hills bottles, and it was good. But I want to go on record today and say that the Zephyr Hills water in Grenada didn't taste like it comes from Zephyr Hills. How they doing that? I told Brother Joe, I said, you can have mine. I'm done with this one right here. But that water I got at the house is over 99% pure by the testing. I got evidence. They tested it. And they've got points and marks on paper how pure the water is at my house. Some people got to have something like that. And I got to thinking about this text right here. And the psalmist is writing, and he said, the Lord is. And you know, a lot of people want to say, just prove to me then that God is. Well, there's a Bible full of people that can prove that He is. I mean, I remember reading over there after He was crucified, And how He showed Himself in the upper room, Thomas wasn't there. And Thomas made this bold statement. Thomas said, unless I see Him, unless I touch Him, unless I thrust my hand in His side, I will not believe. He laid out a pretty hard stipulation. He laid out some pretty big credentials right there. The only way that you're going to make me believe that Jesus is alive is for me to talk to Him. In essence, that's what he said. And so as I look at that thought, I think, you know, that could have been left right there. The Lord didn't know Thomas nothing. The Lord told him what was going to happen to him, and he expected Thomas to live by the same faith that the rest of the disciples lived by. He didn't know Thomas one thing. He didn't have to come back. He didn't have to show himself. He didn't have to give Thomas the opportunity that none of the other 12 got. I mean, for special occasion did the Lord show up for Thomas. And so, I'm thinking right here, while Thomas has got this in his mind, is the Lord really? Is He really? Well, we should see people like that all the time. Kind of something to kind of spun my thoughts along this line. Also, as I thought about this text right here, Brother Frank, was the young man that works with you. He's uncertain that the Lord is. I thought about that. And I thought, you know, he's not the only one. There's many people There's people all over this town. There's people all over this state. There's people all over this country. That's how you quit. They don't believe there's a God. They don't believe there was nobody named Jesus that was born in Bethlehem and was crucified, lived 33 and a half years, and then crucified on a hill called Calvary, and was put in a tomb, and 3 days later come up out of that tomb. They don't believe that. They don't believe that. But can I tell you, it don't make no difference whether they believe or not, because He still is. He still is, thank God. Amen. Aren't you glad tonight that He is? David said the Lord is. I'm almost shocked that the word IS ain't in capital letters. I mean, He is. He is. He is what I need. He is what you need. He is the one that feeds you, and He is the one that provides for you. He is the one that comforts you, and He is the one that guides you. I'm just saying tonight that the Lord is. I got to thinking about how that the Lord's really, He just showed up right there for him and helped him. And when it was all said and done, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." You know what he said? The Lord is. Oh, He is, boys. I'm sorry I doubted Him. I'm sorry I had some questions. I'm sorry I waited until I was 35 to get saved. I'm sorry I waited until I was 60 to get saved. He was the whole time, and now in my life, I'm just realizing now that He really is. But He is, ain't He? Thank God He is. He is for the drunkard. He is for the harlot. Amen. He is for the dope addict. He is for that one that's going to die tonight. He is for that one that's going to be born in the morning. I was watching the news early this morning, and I seen over there in Orange Park somewhere where somebody, and I, if you know these people, listen, I don't say stuff like this to hurt nobody. I promise you, the last thing I'd want to do is hurt anybody in here. I love you. I love you. I don't talk bad about you. I brag on you. I tell folks we go someplace, I say, the greatest church in the world. If it wasn't, I'd go somewhere else. Amen. I would. I'd hate to know God put me in a sorry church. It wouldn't you? Amen. I like this church. I love these people. I'm glad to be a shepherd over these sheep right here. But David, listen, I was watching the news early this morning, and I seen where a motorcycle hit a light pole. Early this morning in Orange Park, a motorcycle hit a wooden light pole about 3 o'clock in the morning and cut that light pole down. Now, you ain't got to ask that next question on your mind. You know. Can I tell you, for people like that that's leaving out tonight in eternity, the Lord is. And I promise you this, whoever that young man was or whoever that young lady was, whoever that was, God had already made Himself known. There ain't nobody going to stand before Him and say, "I didn't know you were." They might say it. They might try to get away with it, Brother Larry. But I promise you this, at the judgment, the King of all glory, the judgment that was committed to the Son, will let them know you've already heard, and you know, and you've heard somebody testify and seen nature expound on the goodness of God, that the Lord is. He is. Thank God He is. Thank God He is. People want to know. Thomas wanted to know. I think about the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was in prison over there, him and Silas, the book of Acts. And man, they had a song. You know why they had a song? Because the Lord is. He'll make you sing a little bit, won't He? And you might not be able to sing real good. You might be like me and just be better off singing off by yourself somewhere. But can I tell you, when you get by yourself, you just don't care whether nobody's listening or not. You just get to singing a song down in your heart. That cousin of mine, he tickled me the other day. A lot of you done got up and left out early Sunday morning because you was in a hurry to get to the restaurant and meet me down there. And we was lingering around in here, and they'd already sung, had them come back up and sing a little bit. And while they was up here singing a little bit, they started singing that song, Redeemed. I'm telling you, boy, I like that thing. Man, it just got on me. Listen to me now. Don't be mad at me because I like the song Redeemed, okay? I'm saying that thing just got on me, Brother Gary. You know what? If the Lord was not, that song wouldn't do nothing. But the Lord is. And the song Redeemed helps me because I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, thank God. I'm telling you, I'm sitting in here and I'm listening to them singing and I'm watching folk kind of mingle around and heading out and everything, and I'm just enjoying them singing Redeemed. I'm blessing my heart. Amen. Brother John said you couldn't see it, but my socks running up them legs. They were just getting blessed too. I mean, it was just so good. Just redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Amen. That cousin of mine sitting back there, and he didn't say nothing about it. And he called me. I talked to him last night, wasn't it? He says, hey, this blessed my heart, Brother Gary. I ain't never known that boy go to church on a regular basis in my life. He'll call me almost every day, telling me about a verse that's been a blessing to him. I was reading something out of the book of James. I thought, dear God, I can get out of James in a hurry. Amen. I can go to John or Romans. Amen. I'd hang around John most of chapter 10 where the good shepherd's at. Amen. That's the chief shepherd right there. And he told me, he says, hey, he said, I've been singing that song Redeemed ever since Sunday. I said, don't feel bad. I came in here Sunday afternoon after church, and we got finished eating, got back in here, and I got to listen to them singing on YouTube in there. I was listening to different people singing that thing about Redeemed. I'm telling you, Brother Larry, I got to squall into worshiping God. Thank you, boy. I'm so glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad I ain't going to hell no more. I'm glad my name's written down the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad I've been sealed until the day of redemption. I'm saved. I'm redeemed. I know the Lord is. I know He is. Now, how do you know? Because He's in my heart. He's in my heart. Can you remember before you got saved? When there was nothing in your heart? Your desire for sin was there. Your desire for self was there. But your desire for service for the Savior wasn't there. I'm just saying tonight, the Lord is. Paul and Silas is over there and they're singing. They got a song. And I'm telling you, that song just stirred heaven, I believe. I mean, they got to singing. Boy, I'm telling you, I don't know what kind of song they was singing. I've heard people say maybe it was another version of Amazing Grace. I don't know what it was. I don't care what it was. It probably was one of the Psalms out of the book of Psalms, probably what it was. But I know this, they got to singing, and heaven got to listening, and heaven got stirred. And the next thing you know, there's an earthquake, and the walls getting shaking and coming down, and they get set free. And there's a jailer over there that wants to know about this Lord that is. He said, do thyself no harm. He said, sirs, would you tell me about this Lord that is? He said it a little different way. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what he found out? He found out that being saved is the right way to go. He found out, like Brother Frank found out a few weeks ago. He found out that, you know what? If I get saved, if I'll just give my heart to Christ, if I'll get saved, it'll make me enjoy songs about the redeemed. It'll make me want to go to church. It'll change my outlook on life. It'll change my attitude about everybody. I'll quit looking at fault, and I'll quit trying to find who's the best and who's the biggest, who's got the most and who's worth the most, and just start looking at Jesus Christ, and I will be able to tell a lost and dying world that the Lord is. Because He is. Someone said He is. He is. Them disciples, they was anybody that could testify that the Lord is, it was them. But what about them that couldn't see Him? What about them that had to walk solely by faith? What about Moses? Moses didn't see Him, not in the same regards as what Matthew, Peter, Andrew. Moses didn't lay his eyes on Him. And now you and I live in an hour when folk are going to have to trust by faith that He is. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
I believe it's an old heart. If you look for him, you'll find him. I believe this with all my heart. If you really will just be willing to go to whatever extreme it might require to get in the presence of the Lord, it'll happen. Sometimes the old devil might offer you something that looks real good and sounds real good, might even taste real good. And you might try it. But you'll find out that the Lord wasn't in it. I was thinking this afternoon, and I don't even know why the thought came to my mind, pondering on stuff on this here. Before I bought my truck, you've heard me tell this story. Before I bought my truck, I had looked at a truck in Savannah. And man, I tell you, I went down there and you remember that day, Brother Leo? Y'all was up here working. You was pressure washing. And I went to Ford Place, big Ford Place in Savannah. And I went over there and found something I thought I was looking for, looking kind of like. And whenever I looked at that thing, the man said, "You like that one there?" I says, "Why don't you tell you what you, why don't you just drive it home?" I said, "No, I can't drive it home." I said, "I don't live around here." He said, "I don't care where you live." Well, they know how. Somebody say amen right there. They know how. That to get you. That's it, but like. He said, "Just drive it home. Bring it back tomorrow." I said, "Can't come back tomorrow. This was on Friday." I said, "Tomorrow's Saturday. I'll be getting ready for church. We're working at the church, and then Sunday's church." I said, "It'll be Monday before I bring it back." He said, "I don't care." I should have said, "Well, why don't you just sign it over to me? If you don't care all this, I don't care." And I said, "Okay." And so I left my truck there, and I drove that one home. Well, I noticed that there was a little bracket on the pasture side seat over there where you pull that bracket up to, if you don't have power stuff, you move your seat back and forth. It was off. I said, "Wow. New truck ought not be like that." I noticed it had a full tank of gas and he ain't filled it up in front of me. I said, "That ain't just right." "So you're just a skeptic." "You ain't kidding. More than you know. I'm a skeptic." And so I come on home with it, and I'm telling you, had one of the worst nights' sleep I could imagine. And finally, I'm telling you, after tossing and turning, couldn't sleep, I just said, "It's time to pray." I said, "God, if you don't want me to have this truck, I'll get up in the morning and I'll take it right back over there. Everything will be a problem with me. It'll be a problem with me." You know, probably would have helped me a whole lot if I'd have prayed before I went. Instead, saved me a trip to Savannah anyway, would it? And sure enough, the next morning, the Lord had done what I asked Him to do. You said, "You was looking for a sign." I know what your favorite verse is. Your favorite verse is a wicked and that seeketh after a sign. But I know that's me. That's me. I called that man. I said, "Sir, you might not understand this, but the Holy Ghost don't want me to have this truck." He said, "Okay." I said, "So I'm going to ask you to get my truck back ready. Park it out front so we don't have to go through this long questionnaire about everything. I said, if you understand, I'd appreciate that." He said, "I understand." And I was shocked and got there and pulled up front. My truck's there. And had one question. He said, "My boss man's got one question." I said, "What's that?" He said, "He'll ask you." And I went over there, and his boss man says, Did he do everything in a cordial and kind way to serve you as a customer? I said, he done the best job a man could do. I wasn't going to say. You see, we're living in a world when people are thriving on making everybody else look bad. And if you don't think that's truth, friend, you won't just talk to a bunch of preachers. Am I right? I made him nervous. He's like, you mean to hit me? Bud Stiltner will be here Friday night. First time Bud preached up here in the pulpit, he got to preaching, and I got to shouting, and I'm doing my hikes. He goes, you making me nervous. Well, if I'd have just prayed, the Lord would have answered my prayer. Remember one time I didn't pray about a car at all, and I bought it. I didn't pray at all. Listen to me, young people. No, I mean, I'm telling you, not a lick. I bought it off pretty. That ain't your brother neither. It was just pretty. That's the only reason I bought it. I wanted one, and it was pretty. Anybody besides me ever done that? Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad there's others, but y'all are mighty ashamed. Me and Sister Brenda and Brother Jeff, the only ones agreed. We done it. I walked down to the Gordon Thompson Chevrolet and took a truck to trade it in. And I seen a resale red, candy apple red, white leather interior. Yeah. Listen. This thing was way up there. Everything power you get on one then. Everybody. And I wanted it so bad, I didn't care what it cost. I done checked with the bank. I knew how much they loaned. I didn't care how much money they were going to give me on a trade-in. I was young and quite dumb. Amen. Is anybody with me? Amen. I'm telling you, it got me. Sister Lori, you being a banker, you'd want to kill me if I was your child. I mean, the color was enough. The only other person that would ever got took like that on that car was Joey Chancey, because he loves red. And finally, after all the talking back and forth from the salesman and the man that he's got to report to, he comes back in there and I'm getting impatient. I'm getting bad things. At the car lot. I said, sir, all I know is this. I said, the bank told me they'll give me $5,700 on this car to buy it. The Lord just let me, all these years, remember for a lesson. A lesson. He got me, boy. Whew. The car only list. I almost hate to tell this. It only lists for $6,300. My truck was about paid off. They got my truck. And they brought that big old high price back down to $5,700. And I said, I don't care. Look at this thing. It's gorgeous. They wouldn't another one like it. I said, I think I'll go up to Hazelhurst and see my grandpa. He'd be glad to see this. I got up there. Heater quit working. I was telling y'all about the other night. Blow the fuses. I said, I know how to fix that. Praise God, you just wrap a little bit of tinfoil around a fuse, stick it back in there. It won't blow no more. But I'll tell you by experience what will happen. Smoke will start coming up out of the dash. I promise you that. You just try it if you don't believe me. You just try it. Had that car for 1 year. put 33,000 miles on it, and the whole time I had it, it was always a lemon. You know what I forgot? I forgot that the Lord is. I didn't pray. I didn't ask God to help me, Brother John. I was just fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But if I'd have prayed and waited on God, oh yeah, He'd probably give me something different. It wasn't so pretty. Every pretty car I've ever had, either it was a lemon or a wrecked it. God don't want us to have the things of this world that's going to take our attention off of Him. That's why it's real easy for God to give us things sometime that makes us pray real hard over them. And I heard one preacher say, I'm going to drive a nice car and I'm going to wear nice clothes and I'm going to eat at nice restaurants. And you might, that's fine. That's fine. That stuff don't bother me. I don't care. I guess to me, my clothes is nice and that's all I care about. It don't bother me to go to the Salvation Army if I have to. Goodbye. It don't bother me, not one bit. Not one bit. I'm not mad at people that can't. You see, those are the places that we get to in our Christian life whenever people become so judgmental. That's why there's so many preachers that all against each other. Because God's blessing this one more than He is this one. Because this one over here seems many get saved and this one hasn't seen many. I'm telling you, friend, that stuff right there ain't nothing but from the devil. You hear me? And I'm not mad at the people that's been deceived. Listen, friend, me and you and you and you, every one of us can be deceived at some point in time in our Christian life. But if you'll remember that the Lord is, and when you do get sidetracked, get back on track and just get to singing. Who was it? Me? Was it me and you? Me and you today was in there. I come in here tonight and y'all was singing. To God be the glory. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Me and you was over there today, and we was talking about how God's blessed us and how everything. I said, you know, there used to be a song we sing at church house all the time called "To God Be the Glory." Amen. Just today. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad the Lord is, and I'm glad that He not just is, but He was, and He shall be. He said, "I'm the first and the last." I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. He ain't going nowhere. You say, but He'll change about. He ain't changed about nothing. He ain't changed about nothing. Christ said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I still believe. You can't make me believe no different. The Holy Ghost is going to point at Calvary. He's going to show us the cross. He's going to show us Jesus. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Let's just focus on the Lamb of God. Let's focus on Christ. Let's enjoy the Lord. Let's tell everybody about Him. Let's sing about Him. Let's testify about Him. Let's spread the word. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. He's alive. You know why? Because the Lord is. Because the Lord is. Let's all stand together.